Not everybody's answering. Are we ready for the word?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God forevermore. Let's just go into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. And we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. And we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Quickly, let me just say something. Right? So next week, Sunday, we're not going to be meeting here physically. We're going to be meeting physically at ourselves. Okay? Got a message that this place is going to be having a blackout, whatever they mean. Right? We're going to be meeting in our various cells. I'm going to give more details about that after church, just so you know where your meeting center is. Then we'll go for evangelism after our meeting next week in our various cells and various locations. I thought to just drop that before I forget. Are we here?
Yes, okay. Sir.
So, where should we start today?
First Corinthians
12.
Yes, sir.
All right. So go to First Corinthians 12. Let's start in First Corinthians 12, okay? First Corinthians 12. First Corinthians chapter 12. All right. So see what Paul says. He says, verse 1. First Corinthians 12, verse 1. This is now concerning spirituals. Now concerning spirituals, I will not have you to be what? Ignorant. Now we said the word there, spiritual, speaks about things of the spirit, or things pertaining the spirit. So Paul says, brethren, I will not have you to be ignorant. He says in verse 4, he says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now it says verse 8 or verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. I'll say that one more time. The manifestation of the Spirit, right, is given to every man to profit without. You know, it says in verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another is the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, it says, that of faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, and to another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits, and to another, tongues. You see, the moment you get to a conclusion that what is being spoken about is the diversity amongst human beings that are believers who have the ability to possess certain gifts, you'll probably get yourself into trouble. What do I mean? The moment you admit that what Paul is teaching is that he gave some people tongues, he gave some people word of knowledge, he gave some people word of wisdom, he gave some people interpretation of tongues, yet you will get to a point where you need to conclude that the gifts of the Spirit are not for believers generally. Right? What do I mean by that? You see, we are in a world today where we think that there are specific people that are only going to be the people that will be custodians of certain gifts of the Spirit. Are we together? Right? So, you know, we find ourselves, for instance, in some different parts of the world or different places where you see that the man of God seems to be the only one that operates in the gift of the Spirit. Are we together? Have you seen those things before? Yeah? Where, for instance, you know, a pastor begins to minister by word of knowledge, and somebody from the audience just shouts, Pastor, open my fire. Pastor, see my vision. Pastor, see for me. Now, there is a place of the pastor within the body of Christ. You see? But regardless of that fact, the gifts of the Spirit are for every believer. So it means that once a believer can speak in tongues, that believer can operate in the remaining 9 gifts of the Spirit. So Jesus will come in Mark 16, going into the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He says, and this sign shall follow. Did you hear that, right? This sign shall follow them that pastor. Them that pastor. Them that believe. They shall cast out them. So it's casting out of devils or pastors alone? No. So who can cast out devils here? Say, I can. Say, I can. So you can cast out devils. Are we together? And it says, they shall speak with new tongues. Right? So every believer or anyone that believes is one that can speak in tongues. So tongues is not something we wait for. Tongues is something we jump into. Hallelujah. Tongues is not something we wait for. You know, you ask believers today, why don't you speak in tongues? You say, I'm waiting for the Holy Ghost to come upon me. I'm waiting for the Holy Ghost to move me. Hey, the Holy Ghost is waiting on you to move. So if the Holy Ghost is waiting for you, you are waiting for the Holy Ghost, what will happen? Nothing. Altogether. What will happen? Nothing. So Paul says, regarding the things of the Spirit, you see, happy are you when you find yourself in a local assembly where the ministry of the word is given first place by extension of the ministry of prayer and the ministry of the Spirit. Are we together? You know, last week, what happened in church? What happened in church last week? We came together and I finished teaching. And we went offline, right? Which we're going to do again today. Right? Why do you think I'm doing that? Because I'm trying to ensure that we sharpen our gifts as much as possible. You see, who will do the sharpening for you? It's got to be you. You see, if you're going to pick a radio now, if you have a radio on your phone, right? All you need to do is to tune into a radio station that is already working. It is not the moment you go to 88.9 that the radio starts broadcasting. Are we here? It's not when you get to 96.7 that the radio station starts broadcasting. It's not when you turn your TV to Channels TV or CNN or Al Jazeera that they start broadcasting. So they say, oh, now somebody has turned on the channel CNN in Edinburgh. Let's start broadcasting. Now, welcome to the news for the day. Is that what happens? No. The news is already ongoing. You need to tune in. You see, God is a talking God. You see, the believer has an advantage that God is on your inside. So you should not be in the dark regarding matters. Why? Because God is on your inside. You should not be ignorant regarding things. So you see, a believer can see ahead. Hallelujah. A believer can know ahead. A believer can get people healed. Are we together? I remember very well when I was in school doing my master's, right? And there was this Indian guy who, you know, he came close to ourselves and all of that. You know, and one of those days, he felt so, I don't know what was happening to him. So I think maybe he was sick, but he was a very brilliant chap. You know what? He wanted to come to school by force. And he came to school and he almost slumped and fainted. You right? So he was getting anxious, agitated, wanted to get to the hospital and everything. And I just brought him close to me and I just gave him a hug. And I just prayed for him. And that's how the sickness went. Why can I do that? The Spirit of God is in me. Not because I'm a pastor. Yeah, I was working somewhere in the UK, right? And I told you of the story of a colleague of mine who came for work or came to shift, and she literally fainted. I went together. And the next thing the manager asked, which is normal, was go call the ambulance. And what happened? She was on the ground. And what happened? I went there, knelt down, laid my hands on her. And what happened? She came back to life. In fact, when she came back, she was shocked as to why people around her. Because she was stronger than she was when she came for work that day. Why? Because I laid hands on her. No, not because I was a pastor. Because God's Spirit there was there. So that is your functionality out in the world. That is who you are. It's not about one man. So my goal is to train you. My goal is to fine-tune your knowledge around it. My goal is to enable and push you to see the possibilities in the Spirit. To push you to see what you can do. Are we together? You know, there's somebody who had ministered to for a long time, discipled for a while, you know, and, you know, she got a point where she was saying, this is of the Spirit, is not for me. So the first time she gave the word of knowledge, she was shocked at herself. You understand? So she asked the person, is it correct? They said, you are correct. She said, the truth. You see? Because you've allowed a lot of fear into your heart. Are we together? So the ministry of the things of the Spirit is for every believer. Every believer. Every believer. So it means you can talk in tongues. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
You can interpret your tongues. Is that true?
Yes.
Is that true? You can interpret your tongues, right? Is that true?
Yes.
You can minister by word of knowledge. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Right? Do you remember Sister Cynthia? So good to see you again. Right? Welcome back. Right? Do you remember the day she ministered for the first time?
Yes,
do you remember the day you ministered for the first time?
Yes.
Yeah? What did I do? I put her on the spot. Not because I didn't like her. Because I wanted her to grow. That's why you need a local church. How together? I see how she just used, you know, we have to drag the mic from her hand that day. We have to collect the mic from her hand that day. Because she started and kept running. You see, that's the reason for the local church. What happened last week Sunday? Yeah, for those of you who were not around, let me tell you. I know you were, you know, what is pastor doing that he put up the camera? Let me tell you. You see, that was one of, you see, so we finished, we're having a meeting, right? I finished preaching, and I came to in front of you all here. And I asked his sister, Sister Marashi, to give us a what? A month. How? By the Spirit, okay? What month did she give us?
February.
Oh, you remember, right? Then I asked who again? Sister Steph? To give us a date by? The Spirit. What did the date come to?
Sixth.
Okay, so what was that? 6th of February. From one person or from two people? Two people. Okay, what's the next step? We asked, who has anything to do with the month or with the date? 6th of September. 6th of February, sorry. Okay, I started already. Hallelujah. Right, who has something to do with the name 6th of February? And what did you say? Sister Esther said, ah, it's like I know somebody who is traveling on the 6th of February. How did I say? Hold on. And I mentioned a city. I've never been to the city. I've never seen the city in my life. What was the city?
Jericho.
I couldn't even pronounce it. I was trying to spell it. Remember? Yeah. Right? And what did I do? I spelled the city. And what happened? We now realized that there was somebody who was supposed to be in the meeting.
Wow.
Who was not in the meeting. Are we together? So, you see, what you should learn from last week is there are believers' meetings where you see things by the Spirit. That nobody is there to acknowledge they are the one does not mean you are wrong.
Yes.
Because, you know, if we didn't go further to say what is happening before she now called Sister, then what happened? By the Spirit again, I mentioned the name.
Abigail.
What did I mention?
Abigail.
Abigail. So I mentioned, so she mentioned by the Spirit, February. She mentioned by the Spirit, 6th. We joined it together. I mentioned by the Spirit, a city. I mentioned by the Spirit a name. I don't, who calls you by that name? Nobody calls her by that name. So for you to know that name, you have to know it by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I said to go and search her passport. And what happened? We said, okay, let's put the dots together. February 6th, we're all here, right?
Yeah.
We called Sister Abami. At least her phone rang. And at least she picked. Are we together? And we called her. Say, ah, she said, Mommy, what is happening February 6th? She said, I booked my ticket, I'm traveling 6th of February. Is that a mistake?
No.
Is that a mistake? You'll be too wise to say it's a mistake. I hope you get the point. You'll be too wise to say it's a mistake. Let's assume February 6th is a mistake. How can somebody book? Who have you told you booked a flight? Nobody, apart from my roommate. You know, it would have been different if it was the one that gave us February. Or she's the one that gave us 6th. You say, ah, they are walking behind the scene. This was what, you know, there's word of knowledge and word from knowledge. But see, a random person said February, a random person said city, a random person said Ijero, right? Is that the word?
Yeah.
A random person said Abigail. I said, Abigail, and we called her on the phone. She was not in church. She said, what do you have to do with the name Abigail? She said, that's my name. Is that not true?
Yeah.
Then one further. You see, and what was I saying offline? I said, you cannot determine the meeting God will use for you. You cannot. You cannot. See, there's a cap to the things you can determine. Who God will use for you, you cannot determine it. You cannot. What God, the meetings God will use for you. Right? So she now called me, she kept disturbing me throughout the week. You were disturbing me. You're not disturbing me. You're messaging me Monday, messaging me Tuesday, messaging me Wednesday. Don't let me bring out your chat.
Yes.
Then I said, and she said, Pastor, Pastor, we need to talk. Eventually, you talk for over 1 hour. Is that one?
I know
this one. Your brother has sent it to me. But did you see that? Okay, so I eventually ministered to her, eventually spoke to her. So she was waiting for me to say something abstract. Right, but she didn't know that the conversation we had was everything that needed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was waiting for me to say, ah, I see in your family there's a somebody tell me something at the gate of your father's house. Are we together? I say, go deep, papa. That's why you don't honor in this church. What do minister like that? What are you supposed to say? Go deep, papa. Deep, deep. It's me. So you'll be saying, who are you? Who is Abigail? You'll be saying, it's me. You don't have honor. Say, it's me, daddy. Pray for me. Right? So, but let me say something. You see, that attitude is not bad.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that it's not only for the pastor.
Yeah.
Do you get that?
Yeah.
Right? So, you see, why do I stay away from ministering a lot of times in the local church? So sometimes I just give you those examples to just see. Because if I keep staying, if I keep remaining the person that ministers every time, you all will look at me as a special breed. That is only me that can minister in those things. I think the last time we did this series concerning spirituals, that was last year. That was last year. Right?
Yeah.
That was last year, remember, right? There was a lady, there was some sisters who came for the first time. Remember that meeting? So some of you were here, right? And the sister was here, she just came. She had never been to Gospel House before, never attended any of our meetings. I don't know if she has watched us online before. But it's not, so she came and she sat down. I was starting having a believer's meeting. What did I say? While I was teaching, I paused my teaching. And I went further. That's the one you go deeper. Now, if you remember that meeting, something happened. I asked for a name. I said, who has something to do with this name? There was a brother that sat here. If you remember that meeting. A brother sat here and he said he was the one. I was together. So, in sitting there, he said he was the one. What did I do? I said, let me go further. When I went further, we now realized he wasn't the one. We now saw somebody else. Yeah, I think we went into so many details that day. Went as much as calling the lady's mother's name. Remember that? We called her mother's name, right? We called her mother's date of birth. We called all her siblings' name. That's not guess, though. How can you? Do you know how many families are in this world? You guess a family's name. You guess the date the mother was born. You guess her birthday. You guess the date that three siblings were. Stop now. It's not guesswork. But I didn't notice that since that day, April, May 2023, you've not seen me like that in the local church. I mean, you would have seen me minister, definitely, but not that detailed. Why? That's just an example. Yeah? You see, you can be so accurate in the spirit, and you will just... Today, we'll try it. Maybe we'll read some of your emails today. Someone say, hey, don't delete it, though. Don't delete the emails. Now, let me tell you something. The reason for that is not to show off. Yeah? Why do we minister that way? It is for you to know that God is intentional about you.
Yes.
Do you understand? It's not a guesswork. It's not like you look at somebody and just say, ah, this person looks like he's from Saudi Arabia. What does it do with Middle Eastern? No. You are trying to get into the flesh. Let me tell you something that helped me a few years ago. One thing that helped me a few years ago was I decided to stop impressing. Are we together? I decided to stop impressing. I met a Muslim guy on the road, right, in Nigeria. And I ministered to him. This was probably 2019. So I ministered to him on the road, right? And I called the name of his mother. I called where the mother was staying. I called like 3-4 details. And I mentioned how many siblings he had, right? And I was like, you're guessing. Guess what he said? He said, for him to know I'm not guessing. He said, what is the name of his maybe 11th child? I'll be the 11th born. You see, the mistake you make is to go there and start saying, Abdulaziz. Abdul, you know, sir, Sanusi. You will mention and you will be far. And you will just embarrass yourself. All did I say? I just told you, I said, you cannot put me like that. You cannot trick me. Don't trick me. Right? You want to hear the gospel, you don't want to hear. You want to hear, be going. Because the reason for that ministration was for me to preach to him. I will fall for that and I say, Abdul. And you say no. I say, check again. Check. Confirm. Right? So what I started doing was I now decided that I will stop trying to impress. So I don't go for meeting and say, who is this person? And I'll say, the person says, I don't know anybody like that. Pastor says, you don't say it. Now I've said it. Who is here now? Pastor, you see yourself. Your Jesus Christ went to a woman by the well. And what did Jesus Christ say? He said, go and call your husband. What did the woman say? He said, I don't have husband. Maybe some of you say, aha! God bless you. Just stay faithful. Just stay committed to Jesus. That's what matters. He was your life. But what did Jesus say? Bible says Jesus went further and said, yes, you said correctly. You've been with 6 men, and the one you are with is not your husband. He said, yes, so, master. Do you know what that woman went on to do? She went into the city and said, come and see a man that told me all my history. The problem with a lot of believers is we stop at the first question. Go and call your husband. The moment you say that question, you see, there'll be times when you minister. And when you minister certain things, right, you might not, people might not remember. Like I said, last week Sunday, we could have left that meeting and we said, who are they to do February 6th? Everybody said, no. Not knowing there was a precious sister of ours who should have been in church, right? But for some reasons could not make it to church. That's why I tell you, when you ask those details and nobody confirms it to you, what do? You move on. Let me tell you what I did. You were in that meeting in 2019. No, 2018. 18 or 19?
19.
19. Okay, how do you know what I'm talking about?
That is great.
Nice. Now, when I was here for my master's, I started the fellowship. Now, one of the meetings that we had, I knew some details by the Spirit. You know what I did? And I asked a question. I said, who is this person that has this name? A lot of them are looking at me. Maybe around 15, 20 of them. Nobody knows. Not me. I smiled and I moved on. I went back there and I said, this person was born on this date this year. I said, nobody. I went back there and I said, this person's sister has... I just gave some details. You know what happened? Nobody confirmed it. Remember that meeting? You were there. I was not dating. Was I dating you then? Okay. Right? And what happened? And I said, before this meeting ends, that person I'm looking for will run into this meeting. And I said, so I said, well, I was probably for an hour, 10 minutes. So the word of knowledge just came around the first hour. And I moved on. Why? Because I already met that guy and I told him to call his 11th brother's name. So then I realized that you cannot impress people. You cannot satisfy a man. How can somebody know 5 details about you? They've never met you in their life. And you're saying, give me the 6th detail. What height of unbelief is that? Right? And I said, who is that? Who is this person? I think I mentioned the year the sister was born, 1989. I said, there's somebody whose sister was born 1989 on this date. Your mother's name is this. Nobody attended. 5 minutes before I close, you said, normally as a pastor, what you who's going to run? Not even me, every member in that meeting. Every pastor says, somebody is running. They're looking at the door. They look, nobody came. 5 minutes before I wrapped up, a lady, I know, and I can tell you her name. You know her name? Say her name, Simone, right? Simone ran into the church, into the meeting. And so, you know, she just said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm late. It was in library reading or something. I just got carried away. I said, welcome, sister. Catch your breath. Who is? I mentioned the name. I can't remember the details. I don't even have a record. I think we have a record, probably. Who is this person? He said, that's my sister. I said, your mother's name is? She did like this. I said, your sister was born in 1980. I said, hey! You see, those are details you cannot know. Do you understand how there are details you can mention you didn't tell anybody? We were in church one day, I was ministering, I spoke to you, right? And I spoke about a call you had with somebody the night before. Right? She's here. Right? What am I trying to say to you? I'm trying to say you can be that accurate. It's not guess. Say it's not guess.
It's not guess.
Say we are not guessing here.
We are not guessing
here. Is your tongue's guess? No. When you speak in tongues, are you guesswalking? It's the same thing about the word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Prophecy is interpretation. Paul says, I will not have you to be known. I hope you know, everything I've mentioned in this meeting, I didn't do them because I'm a pastor. Now, you might be asking, how come me, I can't do it? You know the simple thing? It is that you've not practiced as much as I have practiced. Are you here?
Yes,
you've not practiced as much as I have practiced. So, how do you get better at the things of the Spirit? By practice. All together. How do you get better by things of the Spirit? By practice. How do you get better by things of the Spirit? By practice. So, we now said something on Wednesday. We did a teaching on Wednesday. We said tongues beyond Pentecost. And what we're trying to prove from Scripture was that tongues is elementary for the believer. Remember that teaching? Look at chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Verse 18. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18. So, like I said last week, after every teaching in spiritual gifts, we'll end it with the practical. Now, I'm going to ensure that for the beginning part, we will minister to our family and friends. I'll be together. It's intentional. I'll do it. Right? That's why sometimes in our believers, we try to spread us as much as possible. Right? But my goal is to eventually be able to have a church where couples can minister to themselves and receive of themselves. That's the goal. You see, there are things that you will be looking for in somebody else, and it's in the man or the woman that you are staying in the same house with every day. Are we together? Sometimes, what makes you not to receive from God is your over-familiarity. Are we together? You know, you can be so familiar with someone that you just think the person is casual because you speak casually. Yeah, you can have a wife, have a husband, right? And because you just laugh. You laugh, you slap yourself, pow. You say it's all joke, it's all fun. You know, but when it's time to minister the things of the Spirit, you know, God's best method on the earth is man. If God wants to do anything on the earth, he will use a man. If God's word, right, there are words that you will hear from your private prayer room. And there are words that you will never hear if you don't come to the gathering of men. That's why when you see people who say, I don't do church. All these church people, all of them are scum. They just steal our money and take our money. Yeah? You see, the truth is that for everything that exists on this earth, there will be those that go extreme. Man, by default, has a way of going extreme on situations. You understand? Man, by default, has a way of going extreme. Even if he's jogging. The doctor say, jog. Why are you looking at Esther? Yeah, baby, good news. The doctor says you should jog 1 hour a day. Eh? You go and load your stomach in the morning with heavy food and do 5 hour stretch. You know, some of us, the food you've eaten for 10 years, you want to burn it in one day. You go to the gym, you see somebody jogging, you see them sweating. You'll be jogging, you're supposed to go at your pace. You'll be angry with yourself that you're not sweating. Same thing with this of the Spirit. There are people, you will see live conversations of people who they go and meet and they collect their details before church service. But like I always tell you, don't pay attention to the extremes. You don't build convictions on the extremes of men. Are we here? You don't build convictions. Take note of that. Don't build convictions based on the extremes of men. No, don't build convictions on that. Don't build convictions on that. You don't build convictions based on the extremes of men. Men, by default, know how to take things extreme. Are we together? Same thing, for instance, with the topic of giving. Yes, there are people who have swindled, people who have manipulated and collected the money of people. You know our stand as a church, for instance, on the matter of giving, right? Yeah, we don't believe in God's palace that, you know, to get rich and to get wealthy, you have to sow a seed. We don't believe in all of that, right? But we believe in giving, right? But because people have used that seed to collect people's life savings, it does not mean that there is no correct teaching on giving. So it's left for you to know, what does the Bible teach on giving? Are we together?
Yes,
if you go to a local church and they are collecting tithes, and they are collecting people's tithes and asking you to pray for them, don't just be jumped and say, all of you are fake people. No. No, 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 no. That's not the heart you should have. Don't jump there. Don't jump there. You must ensure that, you know, some people, they can fight. I don't understand. Do you know that somebody who is, I don't remember the story of the woman, for instance, who was giving a widow's mite, right? Yeah. What was more important in what she gave? The heart towards her giving. Yes, we know that giving God £1 million from a heart that is not genuine is not as important, it's not as biblical as giving £100. Well, if you have £1 million, why are you not dropping it? Like, what's your problem? What are your challenges? Some of you, the more you grow, the more you reduce your tithe. You make your tithe tighter. Are we together? You reduce your tithe. Sister Esther, this year you were analyst. Next year you were associate. Next year you were, the next year you were senior associate. You became CEO. When you were analyst, you were giving £100. Now you are CEO, 99.50p. Inflation. Right? And all you know how to do is all this money, they know how to take your people's money. No, that's not your business. You are you giving? If you are giving, stay there. That's what matters. Are we together? And it's the same thing for the things of the spirit. Don't go and be joining people that are laughing about word of knowledge. Ah, you won't see it, oh. I know what I'm saying. You won't see it. Are there fake people who try to do fake miracles? Yes. But that does not mean that miracles don't exist. Somebody tells you that all the wheelchair that people are bringing to church, they went to go and buy it and give people to sit on it. So when they just say, stand up, it just jump up. And the wheelchair was new one. You are not feeding your heart with it. You don't understand. You see, anytime you see a miracle happen and your first slant is to doubt it, your heart has gone far. Or you want to explain it. Somebody said they shot them. The God did not enter. Yeah. So I was talking to the disciple, I think last week or thereabout. Right? You know, I should say, there's a lot of things that happen online. She sent one video. I mean, I don't know how to watch 20 minutes video. How me? I'll come and sit down and watch 20 minutes. What do you feel? I don't feel anything. No. If you want to feel, keep feeling. And I said, what is wrong? And I say, said, there's a man. He said that he was just going into the den of Amrabat and the lion just took him, right? And disappeared to a new environment. And I said, okay. Yeah, you say okay. What should I say? It's not okay. And I said, okay, hold on. Is it your Bible that a man called Philip was in a location? Another location, yes. Is it your Bible that Jonah was in the belly of a fish? Fish and lion. Are they not animals? How many days was Jonah in the belly of a fish for?
3 days.
3 days. And what happened when Jonah was pulled back to land? He came back to life. What is that? Is that a perseverance? Preservation. What grammar are you speaking? Wait, one man was walking. People abusing. He called beast from the bush. Oh, you don't know those stories? One man, I won't call his name. He said, all of you should go and sell your property. People were selling their property and they were bringing the money that they made. And one beautiful family, they connive at the back and say, we'll tell pastor that we gave all, but remember, you need to buy that. And the man just came. Pastor, this is the biggest sacrifice we've made all our lives. There's nothing as big as this. And the man of God said, just die. The wife came. The wife was coming with the same story. You know, then there was no Telegram. No WhatsApp. No WhatsApp. No to go. No Instagram. The wife just came. Ha. Pastor, we're giving you our all, though. We want to downsize. The man just said, the feet of the men that took your husband. Have you not seen things happen? I asked the lady, I said, how many people did Jesus feed with 2 loaves of bread? I'm sorry, I always don't know about it. He shall fed people.
Yes, sir.
He fed people, right? And what happened? He fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Altogether, I had a supernatural experience of a pastor. I don't want to mention the name, right? Just because I don't want to be. Let me see that. They went for a camp meeting. They are prepared to feed, let's say they are prepared to feed 100 people. And so they cook rice, jollof rice for 100 people. And the man laid hands on the cooler. And he fed 1,000 people. Say, pastor. Bread can multiply, rice cannot multiply. Can't you say? can you say? Bread can multiply, but rice cannot multiply. Which one multiplies faster between bread and rice?
It's rice.
You understand? It's rice, no, you cook 1 cup of rice in your pot. You just go upstairs and come downstairs. What happened? Your whole pot is already bubbling. Look for how to laugh out or laugh at the supernatural. That's why when you see those comedians, they just go around and be laughing about it. Just tune off. May it not be the day you're looking for the supernatural that you will now start thinking of how to teach yourself how to receive from God. I told the lady something. I said, have you not noticed that when crusades are done in places where people are illiterate, they receive more. Have you noticed it? We are here in city, we are wearing suit and tie. You are your headache, you are looking for Panadol. Every headache, you are looking for Panadol. People are raising dead. I was listening to Bishop Oyedepo, he was yesterday or thereabout, and he was saying that from the validatory service of one of his sons. And he said that he was looking at the record of their church, as that now they've raised, so their members, not their pastors, though, their members have 35 dead raised back to life. See, they didn't verify they were dead. May you not be the one. Just leave it there. Just leave it there. I told you, in this church, God's Palace, we've had two different, it wasn't coincidence, two different members within the space of 6 months or thereabout. They got healed of, what's that thing that says women's?
Fibroid.
Two of them. What did they take? Only communion. Bread and wine. Bread and wine. Do we take bread and wine in God's Palace? We don't. We don't. Right? But we took that day. Amen? What happened? My dad had just passed. There are some practices that were there, you know, to be unwise of me. In some of us, we just think we are the best people in the world. How my dad passed, and I just changed all the old doctrine. I'll just say all this is nonsense we've been doing, no. And one of those services before we ended this, people took bread and wine, communion, that we laid hands on, and they were healed of fibroid. Yeah, they're saying, only communion is for the men of the old. He was a Pentecost. The root word for communion is, see, God, we just read this morning where the shadow of a man got the people healed. They asked people to lie down, and a man was walking with his shadow. And the fact that his shadow touches somebody who was sick, sickness was gone. Peter and John were going to the temple to go and pray. And what happened? A man that could not walk. And what happened? They asked him, stand up! What I have, I give unto you. And what happened? He stood up and he walked. Is it possible?
Yes, sir.
It's possible. It's possible. It's very possible. Very possible. So you can be a conduit of God's power on the earth. Hallelujah. You can be a conduit of God's power on the earth. It means you can be a transmitter. You can transmit God's power. You can. You can transmit God's power. You can. It's possible. So, 1 Corinthians 14, 18, it says, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than ye all. Are we together? I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than ye all. Who is talking? Paul. What is Paul saying? Can we say Paul is saying that, see, all of you, I don't live with all of you, but I talk in tongues more than you. Is that what he's saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know the level of assurance a man can have to boast like that in the church? You know, Corinthian church, they were not growing people. They were not, you know, where two or three are gathered. Are we here? Wait, think about how diverse the church of Corinth was. Within the midst of people, there are people who were sleeping with their father's wife. Are we together? We have people who were doing, and for Paul and for Apollos. Are we together? And Paul says, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you. Dear saints, so what should be the most voracious thing that comes out from your mouth? It's tongues, though. It's tongues. You know what I was saying on Wednesday? Build the attitude and the heart of speaking in tongues consistently. Don't let it be when things happen, you start shouting, hey, brother, get to call. Build a culture of tongues. You know, we have some very interesting people in our world today. They say tongues ended with the apostles. Do you know that Paul and Jesus didn't meet physically? History shows that they didn't meet physically. But there were supernatural encounters. Are we together? So to say tongues ended with the apostles is to not read the Bible well. Look at what Paul says in chapter 14. For he that speaketh in tongues speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Are we together? How be it in the spirit, he speaketh what? Mysteries. Let me ask you a question. When a man speaks in the spirit, where is the mysteries? The mysteries is to his knowledge. Is the mysteries to God? No, you're not speaking mysteries to God. So when tongues is spoken, who can hear what is being said? Only God. You know, you hear people say, You see, tongues is a language of another community. Are we together? And I told you last week Sunday I was driving home, right? And we heard on the radio of a, remember that story, right? A lady who ministered to a Russian woman, she doesn't speak Russian, and she ministered to a Russian woman in Russian language. And she doesn't speak Russian. She has not learned Russian. How is that? That's what a supernatural experience now. If the first thing you do when you say that is say, ah, take it easy. You've worked on your mind. Are we together? The moment another person, see, let me use an example. Sister Vin, can you give me one language from the part of the world you are from? Shona. Is that the pronunciation?
Yeah.
Shona. Okay. The moment I speak in tongues, and Sister Vin can say what Pastor said from her knowledge is, that's my language my father used to speak to me when I was growing up. What Pastor said is, go out of the church and make sure you go and take the key from downstairs. What I said has ceased to be tongues. Can I speak in tongues and Sister Vin will interpret it?
Yes.
Yes, no. Can I speak in tongues and Sister Vin will translate it?
Yes.
If I speak, Shona.
Forgive me.
Right? If I speak that language, right? And she says, that is what you said, Pastor, in my language. What have I spoken? I've spoken her language. Are we together? But when I speak in tongues, and she says, thus says the Lord. The Lord says, we're going to do it maybe today or next week, or next meeting, where somebody will speak in tongues, another person will interpret it. Are we together? Mm-hmm. Note, the Bible doesn't teach tongues and translation. Mm-hmm. It teaches tongues and what?
Interpretation.
So where is tongues void when it is spoken? In the mind of a man. Are we together? So he says, for he that speaketh in tongues, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. So in Acts 2, remember Acts 2, the day of Pentecost.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
What happened? Bible says they were hearing them speak in their tongue. Go to Acts 2, quick. Acts 2. Are you in Acts 2?
Yes.
So what it says in verse 2. And the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a what? A sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it what? Filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared upon them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And what happened? And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, when you look at Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 2, how many people were in that meeting from what you saw on Wednesday?
120.
120, right? An average of 120 people. Do you suppose all of them spoke in tongues at once? One person would have started. Have you not seen, when we're in church, for instance, right? You know, we should have those conversations where somebody gives a direction of rejoicing and others follow. Some of your body is just so stiff. See, my body is not stiff.
My body is not stiff.
My body is not stiff in Christ.
My name is not stiff.
So your body is just you would like just so programmed until you're in the house, until you're in your private space. You see, when we come together is an opportunity for us to express ourselves. So when you see a brother rejoicing, some of you, where is where people start rejoicing. You did close your eyes before, your eyes have been open. But when your pastor say rejoice, close your eyes. Why are you closing your eyes? What are you seeing in the spirit? You are shy in the spirit. You have to be shy in the spirit. I'm going to say, rejoice! I'm going to say, laugh in the spirit. You see people laughing. You'll be laughing at the fact that they are laughing. Are we together? You see, laughing is contagious. Okay? Rejoicing is contagious. Are we together? Ministering in things of the Spirit is contagious. So if you see somebody rejoice in the Spirit, you can say, ah, what is making that brother rejoice is in me. So I can rejoice at that brother. So today, when you see people minister by the Spirit, what do you not do? You don't say, ah, this man is close to fire. It is the Spirit in that brother, the Spirit in that sister, the Spirit in pastor is the same Spirit in me. If pastor can do it, I can do it. Right? So, what would have happened in Acts 2 was there would have been what you call the first responder. Hallelujah. That means people would have started speaking in tongues progressively in that meeting. But there will be those who would have sharpened their faculties to receive all that was able to be given in that meeting. So there were two or three categories of people. So someone said, when they look at verse 8, when the noise was lost, my brother, once you came together and they were confounded, because that every man heard them speak. Are you there?
Yeah.
Every man heard them speak in his what? In his own language. And they were amazed and marveled. So if they were hearing them speak Jewish, was tongues happening in Acts 4?
Yeah.
No. Let me explain to you. If we are speaking in tongues here, and a man walks into this place, and he leaves and says, ah, I went to that church, and I heard them speaking my language. Was it his language we were speaking? Was it his language we were speaking? Remember I said we were speaking in tongues. Was it his language we were speaking? If it's going to be his language, what would be happening? Interpretation. So what happened in Acts 2 verse 4? Tongues was spoken about, and what happened? Interpretation was happening. So the people outside who came to the meeting and saw people speaking their language, what they were hearing was interpretation. You cannot hear people speaking your language, and what you get from there is that these men are drunk. Is it not the Bible?
Yeah.
Yeah? They said, ah, these men are, that's why when Peter stood up with 11, but the first thing he addressed is men and brethren. These men that you see, they are not drunk, for it is only the third hour of the day. That means the attitude and actions that were seen in that meeting were similar to those of drunk people. That's why I tell you, I don't watch myself when I behave in the Spirit. Yesterday I was going on a walk. Took a prayer walk, right? And the song just busted out from my heart, and I just started singing it. And in the middle of the room, I started rejoicing. I started doing Agalio. I was together. Then I what? Put my hoodie, and I continued bouncing. You see, the way you will act as a believer, people will look at you and say, that man is mad. There's a way you act as a believer. So your life every time as a believer, so there's time to be prime and proper like this. Guys, everybody seated, you know, you're listening to me, you're taking notes. But there are times where you let loose. That's what I mean. One of the things I decided to do years ago was I won't watch myself ministering in the things of the Spirit. I don't like what I look like. Amen? I don't like what I look like. If me say I don't like, I don't expect you to like it. So that way helps me to minister freely. So in Acts 2, they were speaking in tongues, but some people heard their language. The only way they hear their language, Paul says, if men speak in tongues, they are speaking not unto men, but unto God. So if men could hear their language, it means it was not tongues they were hearing. So they were hearing interpretation with tongues. Do you suppose they heard tongues? They'd have heard tongues now, because tongues was in that meeting. Bible says that in verse 4, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were amazed in verse 7, saying one to another, behold, are all these men that speak not Galileans? And how hear we every man in our what? Language wherein we're born. If you start reading from verse 9, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and other parts of Libya, about Cyrene, right? And strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes, Cretes, and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our what? We do hear them speak what? In our tongues, the wonderful works of God. You know, people can assume that all the different nationalities that were mentioned there were hearing their various languages in that meeting. How possible can that be? Let's assume you are, what do you call that tribe? Shona? Shona. Right? You are Shona. You are Igbo. You are Hausa. You are French. You are Spanish. You are Latin. You are Greek. You are Hebrew. You are
American.
out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth pops out. thank you, Lord Jesus. Right? So, if in all of that, if all of us are talking at the same time, if somebody random walks into this place, how would they understand what is being said? How easy will it be for them to understand what is being said? Okay, let me say that differently. If a Latin person comes into this place, how will a Latin person hear a Latin language? Okay, hold on, remember we said you're speaking different languages. No, let's leave tongues out of it. So no tongues is involved. Everybody in this place, right? You're all speaking different languages, right? And a Latin, who is a Latin person? You're a Latin person. So if a Latin person, somebody walks into this place as a Latin person and hears their Latin, and hears somebody talking in Latin about the wonderful works of God, right? And another person comes to this place and hears somebody talking about Hausa, the wonderful works of God, right? If everybody is talking together, how possible will it be for different people to come and distinctively hear their own language? So do we, now, do we hear the language they understand? But I'm saying, is it convenient for them to come and, in the midst of 15 people talking, you are hearing this Latin? Do you understand? Is it convenient to just say, I'm hearing Latin, Latin, Latin. And what you are now hearing is the conclusion that the wonderful works of God is being spoken about. How possible is that? But guess what? What the Bible is teaching is not that people were speaking different languages. It is that people from different parts of the world came for Pentecost. So what language will be common to everybody? Jewish language. Are we together? Are we together? So what were the people hearing in that meeting that made them say, we heard them here, we heard them speaking our own language? Jewish language, right? Is that true? So, but did the Bible say they were speaking in tongues?
Yeah.
So where did the tongues appear to? It's what I'm explaining to you is the mistake people make that make them say that tongues is people's language. But they fail to understand that what was happening in Acts 2 was what? Tongues? Listen carefully, look at verse 13. So there were some that were amazed, some were in doubt, and they were asking, what does that mean? What does that mean? So you can come to a believer's meeting, and what you're asking is, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? Look at verse 14. Let's read verse 14 together. 1, 2, 3, go. But 1, 2, 3, go, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem. Stop. Peter stood up and spoke. How many languages?
One.
The Bible records that Peter stood up with a translator. So was that interpreter for Peter? So if Peter spoke one language and everybody from Phrygia, Mesopotamia, Cappadocia, everywhere, they understood what Peter was saying, it means that there was a common language they all had.
Yeah.
All together. So in that common language they had, right, they were communicating their tongues, interpreting it in that language. Now what did Peter say? Peter now says in verse 15, for these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing that it's only the third hour of the day. Verse 16 together, 1, 2, 3, go. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, and I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall what? They shall what?
Prophesy.
Okay, go back to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 1. What did Joel say sons and daughters shall do? Okay, verse 14. Follow after charity and desire what? Spirituals. But rather that ye may, what?
Prophesy.
Okay? He says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, is that correct? Yes, speaketh not unto men. But unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh what? Let's read verse 3 together. 1, 2, 3, go. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation. And he that speaketh in tongues edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. What does edify mean? To build up, right? For a man to be built up, he would have to relate, right? With what's being said, to a large extent. So what edifies in the church? No. What did Paul call it?
Prophecy.
What is Paul teaching? Tongues and interpretation. So when Joel said that the sons and daughters shall prophesy, what was he teaching? Interpretation. Or word spoken that will what? Make sense to the hearers of the words. Is that going to be the church? Okay? So if the church is edified, the church can only... So if I talk right now, if I talk in tongues, who is edified? Can I talk in tongues that edifies you?
No.
Who gets edified when you speak in tongues?
Jesus.
It's you now. Remember the scripture, Jude 20. Build up yourself in the what?
Most
what's the word they build up? Edify yourself in the most holy faith by what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. What's praying in the Holy Ghost? Okay. Who's edified when you speak in tongues?
Me.
Who's edified when you interpret?
The church.
Does that include you?
Yes.
Which part of you is edified?
Your mind.
Are we together? So if I speak in tongues right now, right, and I bring interpretation to it, let's do a quick example, right? So now the Bible doesn't teach, like I said, translation. Right? Translation means for every vocabulary or word heard, there's an exact replica in the new language.
Mm-hmm.
Are we together? But interpretation means to govern and help, right? To give direction, to help, to bring meaning to. Are we together? So if I speak, for instance, and I say in English, for instance, I said, leave this room, go out of the door, go downstairs through the staircase, and go through the exit and go out of this place. And somebody just says what I said. How do you say what I just said in simple terms in your language? Is that American? How do you say it in America?
Good downstairs.
How do you say it in your own language?
In America, you can get a hell
out of it. Now, this, I don't know what she said, but do you hear all she said? Right? Can you compare the number of words and vocabulary she used with what I used?
No.
Which one is longer?
No.
My own now. Has she interpreted what I said?
Yeah.
Yes, now. Are we together? So, interpretation is not what? Translation. So, let me give you a good example. Etrapushki nevaski prandesava kavrende daboski fanashki prandesava. Ekatis upon the shokratis of the pond as a far, ekratis pond the boschit of an mosque patavala. We are well guarded and prepared with the materials needed to do his will on the earth. We have his words on our lips, and we have his words in our hands that we read and put in our hearts so that we can proclaim with our lips. Our frost kept on the scars, kefrandis upon kefatins apra, ekatis upon the kish kokratis upon the vaka, ekatis upon the vaka. We will go forth in the strength of his might and the power of his will, and go into dark areas and go into gray areas to shine the light of his word on our lips. And we will go with confidence and boldness, rest assured with the fact that he has sent us, and he that has sent us has gone ahead of us and is with us. I will not be afraid or timid about what it looks on the or what it looks like on the horizon. But will you frost keep attached? A grand piece of property, divorce, frontage, property, and a most suffering none of us share. Yes, we'll pay attention to that which is on our inside. For you see, that which is on our inside is strong enough to overcome that which seems to look like darkness on the horizon. And we'll give ourselves solely to the strength on our inside to fulfill his will and task on the earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, what did I do? Tongues, interpretation. You see, the mistake you will make is if you think that for every tongues I said, I must give an exact word for what I said. You will miss the point. Now, were you instructed by what I said?
Yes.
Were you edified by what I said?
Yes.
Right? So, what did I do to bring edification to you? Interpreted the tongues. I was together. I interpreted the tongue. So, Paul says in verse 18, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. But it doesn't stop there. Look at verse 19. Are you there?
Yes.
1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 19. Yet in the what?
Church.
Are you here? Mm-hmm. Yet in the church, I had rather speak what? Five words with my that by my voice I might teach. So, do we teach in tongues?
No.
Do we teach with tongues?
No.
Ah, you get it? All together. So, we don't teach with tongues. Is that correct? So, if you want to teach, what do we pay attention to? The understanding of the people who are around us. The understanding of the people who are around us. Praise God forevermore. So it says, when I'm in church, or so when it says yet in church, what is it really saying? It's not literally saying church, like church, 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 always church gathering. It's just trying to say wherever there's another person. Are we together? Wherever there's another person, I rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in tongues. Look at verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. How be it in malice, be ye children. Are we together? So when it comes to the things of the spirit, when it comes to understanding God's word, don't be a child. Don't be fed with, you know, with, don't be pampered and tampered with for your 20 years of your Christian journey. But what, so in on which matter should you behave like a child?
Malice.
Malice. Are we together? You see, some of us are so good at keeping malice that we can keep it for Africa. And if Africa is not enough, keep it for Europe. Paul says, be as children. But in understanding, be men. Look at verse 21. In the law, that's in scripture, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people. Yet for all that they will not, they will that, for all that will they not hear me, says the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church, are you in 23?
Yes, sir.
If therefore the whole church be come together, have we come together?
Yes,
okay. And all speak with tongues. And there comes in those that are unlearned, or unbelievers, will they not say you are mad? Is that it? Okay. But if all prophesy, and there comes in one that believeth not, or one that is unlearned. You see, the word there unlearned is the word idiotis. You see the word idiot? Yes, idiotis. That's the word there unlearned. And it's a word that means to be uninformed, to be unschooled, or to be untaught. Are we together? So, if a man comes into the local church, and he is unlearned, he is convinced of all and he is judged of all. Now let's do 25 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And thus, 25 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you. So if a man comes to the local church, right, and he doesn't, and you minister by spirit, what will he say? You reveal the things of his heart. Are we together? You say things, you give informations about them, information about them. What would they say? Of the truth, God is with you. Why can they say of the truth, God is with you? Because by default, they are being edified or they are being communicated to in a language they understand. So Paul will say, I speak in tongues. When I come together, I ensure that my tongues don't stop at tongues. I go further to interpret. So when you interpret your tongues, what happens? You are bringing a lot of things together. So, can you by tongues, can you start in tongues and end in interpretation of tongues? And interpretation of tongues brings a revelation of something. Yeah. You know, you can speak in tongues, and when your interpretation of tongues will give the information about someone, and you cannot ask questions, who is that person? Who is this person? Do you know anybody that has anything to do with this name? Are we together? What does that do for you as a believer? Tongues, by default, just prepares you. Hallelujah. So, you see, so if you want to say there's a starting ground for the believer, what is the starting ground? Tongues, start in tongues. I was together. But the thing is, don't stay too long in tongues. What we do a lot of times is we talk ourselves out of the interpretation by staying in tongues. Amen? Yeah? We talk, let me tell you something. Okay, let me use Brother Goodness as an example. Remember last week? We said Brother Goodness should talk. Remember last week, right? Now, what did Brother Goodness say? He kept quiet for almost 2-3 minutes. And what did I say? I said there's a name that came to your heart that you should say. He didn't say it. There was a brother in front of Brother Goodness last week, and I said, what name came to your heart by the Spirit? As soon as he mentioned the name, what did Brother Goodness say? That was the name on my mind. Now, what should Brother Goodness not have done? Brother Goodness was in the category of people asking, let me not talk the one that looks like somebody of my friend. Don't you think that there are names that when I mention here, I have people who are bearing those names? Me, that knows Africa. Right? And that is why when we mention details about people, we go further to be sure it is you. Because we can say something that is common to a lot of us here. We can mention a name that everybody in this place knows that person. So when we get to that place, that point, what do? To find out who we are speaking specifically to, we can say, oh, this person is in his mid-30s. This person is into farming. This person is into... Yeah, so we can go to narrow it down to pick the person we are looking at. But let me tell you something. See, never at any point hesitate because you are trying to use your mind to explain it. All together. I told you last week, I said, most times when I'm in my life, in my days of ministry, right, very few days actually, I've never heard an audible voice from outside. You know, there was this skit I was watching from years ago of a man who was fasting, right? And he was fasting, and he was waiting for God to, you know, tell him to break his fast. And God did not tell him. What happened to him eventually? He had to eat now. He said, God, I will not break this fast until you tell me to break it. That's when you start looking for the word, the scripture that says, eat, for the journey is long. Eat, for the journey is long. You know, so you ensure that you don't talk yourself out. There are lots of times I want to minister, and I say, who is this? And nobody in this. And at the time I was saying, who is this? No name was on my heart. You see, what you need to learn to do is to trust the leading of the Spirit. Are we together? Yeah? The reason why you are hesitating is because you don't want to be wrong. In your mind, the moment you think you don't want to be wrong, the moment you think you won't want to be wrong, you have started switching to a place of impressing. Are we together? You started switching to that point of impressing. So you can minister accurately. So Paul now says something. He says, if one is unlearned, he is convinced that God is in your midst. And thus the secret of the heart has been manifest. And so falling down on his face, he worships and reports God is in your truth. Let's read verse 26 together. 1 Corinthians 14:26 together. 1, 2, 3, go. How is it then, brethren? When ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. So who is here that doesn't have a psalm? Who is here that doesn't have a doctrine? Who is here that doesn't have an interpretation? Who is here that doesn't have an interpretation? Revelation. So we all have them.
Yes, sir.
Is that true?
Yes, sir.
So we have them. He says, when we come together. Have we come together?
Yes, sir.
Have we come together? So what can happen when we come together? The things of the Spirit can be experienced. The things of the Spirit can be expressed. The things of the Spirit can be given expression to. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at verse 2, verse 27. It says, if any man should speak in tongues, let it be by two, or at most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. Look at verse 28. If there be no interpreter, I'm going to look at 1 Corinthians 14 in this series thoroughly, verse by verse. But I'm not heading there today. If there be no interpreter, let him what? Let him keep silence in church. Don't you know believers in this world, they don't speak in tongues in church because they say that the Bible says, if you don't have interpretation, everybody should keep silence. Now, what does it mean to keep silence in our world? In our world, what does it mean to keep silence? Keep short. That means don't utter anything. What did Paul say? Let's read again, verse 28. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Let him speak to himself and to God. So how does man speak to himself and to God? By praying in. What verse shows you that? No. What verse shows you that you are talking to God when you speak in tongues? Verse 2. So go back to verse 2. He that speaketh in tongues speaketh not unto men, but unto... So what does Paul mean by be silent? Speak with tongues, but under your breath. Why? To avoid distraction. So it means you can put order in the church. So it means that when somebody else is ministering, you can be silent. So if I say keep silence, what am I saying? So keep silence, everybody. You see, can we all talk like this and I keep talking and you're hearing me? Let's speak out loud. So everyone in tongues, let's speak together. No. This one is silence. Let's speak in tongues. Go ahead. You are since I let go. A prevision. Call me the father of a son of a Nash. And a man of a son of a Nash. And God is on the throne. And God is on the throne. Oh yeah, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Hold on. Do you see why? Do you see how I was shouting?
Yes, sir.
You two don't like it.
Yes, sir.
Right? So because you want to hear me talk, you have to reduce your voice. What does Paul call reduce your voice? Keep silence in the church. He says, keep silence. So keep silence. So it means that when the Bible says, women keep silence in the church, he's not saying women don't talk. Imagine women come to the church. You say, good morning, sister. I say, Mr. Marachi, how was your week? Why would I leave the door? Mr. Marachi, we're not talking church. Paul says, women should keep silence in the church. You see, you cannot take the Bible as literal in every narrative. So Paul says, when there is no interpreter, right? Is that what it says? Right? He says, if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. Now let me show you something new. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let him first hold his peace. Is that not true? So if somebody is ministering, right? The fact that somebody else is ministering, don't be shouting out of your voice to be accurate. Don't. I always tell you. I'm sorry, someone. Let me show you something. He says, if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye, listen to what I'm about to show you. For ye may what? All prophesy. How? So, can everybody prophesy?
Yes.
How should it be done in the church? One by one. That all may learn and be comforted. Now look at 32. 1, 2, 3, go. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophet. Let's read 32 together. 1, 2, 3, go. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As in the churches. So what does the Bible say? The spirit of a prophet. So imagine I'm teaching. Somebody just sits at one corner there and say, hey, yo, yo, God said that he's on the throne. We'll bond you, Mr. Prasidji. Prasidji will just help us, you know, and lift you out. When you finish manifesting, you know some people can be very funny. No, the Bible says the spirit of a prophet is already a prophet. You can't come to a meeting and cause confusion and say, me, when God wants to talk to me, my mouth loose. He needs resetting. When your mouth talks anyhow, your mouth just flows like it needs resetting. Pastor, you see, nobody's talks when I don't know, Pastor. I just used to understand that. Bible says the spirit of the prophet. That means your words, your utterances are subject to you. That means you can say, I want to minister. I say I will stop. Pastors do not say stop ministry. Say, no, I just stop. I'll just say, no, oh, God said that he will take us to a higher level. We are going higher, yes, higher. We are going to temple. Pastor say, okay, it's okay. Say, no, we are going. You know some people. I was in a meeting. Let me say something very naughty. I was in a meeting. So the pastor administered, and one lady was just catching up the wheelchair. Right? Now, can nothing happen in meetings? It will still start happening in our meetings here. Are we together? Right? But the pastor did something that day. The pastor just said, leave her. So when she roll, her bodies are depending now. She started to play her eyes, which if anybody is with her. And before you know it, she stood up. Like, you don't have to be that dramatic.
Yeah.
One of my dad's friends, he went to go and start a church in America. They were using plastic chair. Before he just said, take it! Everybody has scattered the whole chair. Every service is buying new chair. Buying new chair. That's why, if you want to lay hands on people, we ask you to come forward and face the door. So, I'm just joking. Right? But you just miss out. Take it there! Everybody just scattered. You see, are there meetings where you fall under the power? Oh, yeah.
Yes,
in fact, you might experience that you are losing out on a lot. Actually, that's the truth. Right? Because it's written in scriptures. Right, Jesus did it, it was written across scriptures. Yeah. What I'm trying to say is that you can have experiences and feel in your natural heavy weights that takes you unaware. You know, but you not realize that a lot of people, sometimes people have programmed their minds such that they believe that you don't fall, nothing is received. So you just say, are you ready over there? Take it. Particularly some sets of people, before you know, plastic chairs, they have to now, because they rented the place, they have to be buying chair every week. One day the pastor just came and said, if you break one chair in this church, you buy four. From today. After seeing people went wonderful, we'll be checking to see what is behind there. Right? What am I saying to you? Right? You ensure that you put your heart in the right place. Ensure you put your hand in the right place to receive. Don't, you know, some of us are so stereotyped. Are we together? We're so stereotyped. It has to be that way. See, God has diverse methods, diverse ways, diverse things that can be done. What do you think of Jesus who is using the sand and spit to get a man healed? If they did it for somebody in this world, they say that's disgusting. Heal. How can Jesus put you? The man that was blind, is he complaining?
No.
Can he not see? So they are strengthening you. A prophet will say to a man, go and dip yourself in that river. He said, river. Oh, it's not swimming pool. I don't do those things. What I'm trying to say, there'll be diverse things. So what did Paul say? He says, the Spirit, for God is not an author of what? Confusion. So if we go back to verse 3, he says, but he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. So we're going to practical. Let's go offline, okay? So we're going to practical session right now. Right? So what are you going to do? You ensure that you ensure that you put your heart in the best place to minister.